especially for these early ones, some nice hard gavels because you want people to hear.
The house will come to order.
Gavel again.
The flag salute will be led by Representative Kenemer.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Opening ceremony will be presented by Linda Gravel, singing guest of Rep. Wisnant.
Thank you.
I have wandered through mountains, smelled the trees of evergreen. I've been across her deserts and waded in her streams. I've walked barefoot on her beaches, built castles in her sand. And I know inside my mind there's nothing like her in the land. For there's no place under the sun like Oregon, my Oregon. And my heart loves no other one like Oregon, my Oregon. I've laid in bed at night and heard her rain fall on the roof. I woke up to a morning with her sunlight shining through. I have traveled many places and felt the need to roam. But Oregon keeps telling me she'll always be my home. For there's no place under the sun like Oregon, my Oregon. And my heart loves no other one like Oregon, my Oregon. Oh, there's no place like Oregon.
Thank you, Lindy. Courtesies, Representative Wisnant.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I hope you enjoyed that performance by a friend of mine and a constituent, Lindy Granville. Gravel, I'm sorry, Lindy. Lindy was born in Tillamook, grew up in a small town in Heppner. Do you know that representative? Her parents owned Heppner's popular Wagon Wheel Cafe. Her family band performed for entertainment at the Wagon Wheel. Lindy made her debut as a performer at the age of 3 when her father bought her on stage for a nightly solo. She started playing piano at 8 years old. That wasn't that many years ago. Lindy is a friend and very popular in my district. She actually spent 15 years in Nashville, where her original song became noticed. Marcia Thornton's single and video of Lindy's composition, A Bottle of Wine and Patsy Cline, became a regular play on country music. Now we're blessed because she performs and lives in Central Oregon for the past 9 years. And she's traveled over the Northwest and performed at various locations, including the Senate. She's been here before. She's performed for the president twice. Recently, we had her at the Oregon Ball. Several of you heard her perform her song at the ball this past February. Please, colleagues, extend a warm courtesy to Lindy today, and I'll be talking more during the remonstrances about a bill that we have. We want your support on. Thank you.
Further courtesies, Representative Huffman for our moment in history.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I'm back, and it's time for 1 minute of attention for this sesquicentennial minute. It's riveting, but it's true. In 1924, young musicians in Portland practiced each week in the attic of music teacher Mary V. Dodd. I won't ask for a show of hands of how many knew this, but at the end, we'll have a test. The group eventually became the first youth symphony in the country, founded when Dodge asked Portland Symphony Orchestra guest conductor Jacques Gershkovitz to lead the combined group of promising music students from Irvington School and her violin school. The group is now called the Portland Youth Philharmonic, or PYP. Gershkovitz led the orchestra for 29 years, and under his direction, they gained national attention, pioneering the youth orchestra movement. Jacob Ashlamov, the next conductor, began arranging international tours for the youth group, and they gained prominence in other parts of the world as well. The tradition continued in 2000 when the Youth Symphony traveled to New Zealand and Australia for its 8th international tour with conductor Hugh Edwards. Edwards was honored at his final performance in April 2002, and the group moved forward under the baton of conductor Mian Chen, who guided them through a performance at Carnegie Hall, which earned a standing ovation. The group plays on, now led by David Hattner.
Thank you, Representative Huffman. Further courtesies, Representative Gilman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a few honorary pages today. Jessica Estes, please stand up. Jessica is 15. She's in the 9th grade. She's from Prineville, and she's homeschooled. She likes babysitting, swim team, and 4-H. She plans to be an EMT. Okay. Caitlin Estes, age 13, 7th grade, Prineville, homeschool, sports, 4-H, babysitting, and she wants to be a beautician. Molly Viles from Prineville, she goes to Crook County Middle School. She's in the 8th grade, and she's 13. Activities, volleyball, swim team, track, and singing, and she would like to be a sports coach. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Welcome to your house. Further courtesies, Representative Reed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I'm honored to welcome two honorary pages today who are also constituents, Kaya and Cecilia Patton, who are here from Whitford Middle School and Raleigh Park Elementary School, respectively. They're sitting, and now they're standing. We appreciate that. Kaya is spends a lot of time doing band, soccer, drama, and is an avid reader. She has a very laudable career goal of being an author and to help poverty-stricken communities and countries. I think that's something we can all be proud of. Cecilia is involved with Campfire Girls Soccer and aspires to be a professional musician. We appreciate you spending some of your spring break with us and serving the House. Thank you.
Further courtesies, Representative Greg Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, if I may digress before I even begin, I would like to thank the good representative from rural Deschutes County for bringing the wonderful talent here to the Capitol. Thank you so much, Lindy, for sharing your wonderful talent with this body. And I have to share with the House, we raise them right in Heppner. So, welcome. Colleagues, it's my pleasure today to introduce an honorary page. Her name is Dawn Hunter Strobel. Dawn, stand up. You know they're from Eastern Oregon when they have Hunter or Gunner or something like that in their name. Dawn lives in Joseph. She attends the Enterprise Seventh-day Adventist Church School. She enjoys skiing and theater, writing, hiking, and science. And one day she would like to be a published author or even an actress. Welcome, Dawn, to the Capitol.
Thank you, and welcome, Pages, all of you, to your state capitol. Further courtesies, Representative Stiegler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And colleagues, I would like to welcome to the House today a couple of honored guests, Deschutes County Commissioner Tammy Bainey and her daughter, Addie. Welcome.
Welcome to the Capitol. Further courtesies, Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, we have with us today Austin and Max Windisch. You guys stand up, please. They're here today working on their merit badge for citizenship in the nation. They're first-class scouts with Troop 195 from Roseburg, and they're joined by their mother, Marla, and their sisters, Erin and Corrine. And it's great to see young people who are taking an active interest in their government. Colleagues, please extend your courtesies to them. It's great to have them with us today.
Welcome to your state house. Hope you get the merit badges. Further courtesies, Representative Gelser.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, please join me in welcoming some representatives of the Benton County Republican Party. We have Reese Rizik, who is here, who we see often because he works in the good representative from Albany's office. We also have three members of the Benton County Republican Women, P.J. Hunter, Jean Nelson, and Stella Gunther. They are very active in our community, and in addition to their political activities, the Benton County Republican Women are very involved in our community, including ensuring that every third grader in our community, in homeschool, private school, and public school, gets their own dictionary. So welcome to the Oregon House, and thank you for your service to our community.
Welcome to the House. Further courtesies, Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I wanted you to know that a representative from the land of food and shelter, you may have raised her in Heppner, but she was born in Tillamook, and that's my district. I also have a few guests here today. I have Steve Packer up in the upper gallery, who's with the Washington County Democrats, and a couple of fishing guides from Hebo, who are here today to listen in and partake in the hearings on the fish bills. So please welcome my constituents and Lindy to the Capitol.
Welcome to the House. Further courtesies, Representative Maurer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to have my family stand at the side aisle, introduce my wife, Sheila, and my daughter, oldest daughter, Trista, my youngest daughter, Eliza, here on the floor, and my two sons, my oldest son, Remington, and youngest son, Winchester, and it is Winchester's 11th birthday today. Welcome to the House.
Yes, welcome to your house, and thank you for sharing your husband with us. Further courtesies, Representative Cannon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I'd like you to join me in welcoming a former student of mine, now a senior at Riverdale High School, Max Lieberman, to the Capitol. He's shadowing me today. Among his other activities, he's joined with some fellow students in starting a club dedicated to parliamentary procedure and laws, and we're talking about the English Parliament here, not U.S. parliamentary bodies, so he may have some tips for us after his experiences today. Thank you very much.
Welcome to the House. Further courtesies?
Gavel.
Verification of quorum. The clerk will open the voting system to determine the presence of a quorum. How do I vote? Oh, here, right? Representative Thatcher. All members are present. Excused Representative Schauffler. Messages from the Governor. Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform you the Senate has passed Senate Bills 167, 220, 238, 356, 401, 469, 558, House Bill 2495, and adopted SCR 1, SCR 6, HJM 2, and HJM 4.
First readings, memorials, and resolutions.
SCR 1, in memoriam of Phyllis K. Beck, 1949 to 2008. SCR 6, in memoriam of Vern Cook, 1925 to 2008.
Measures read for the first time are passed to the Speaker's desk for referral. Standing committee reports. The committee report has been distributed. Special committee reports. Special orders of business. The clerk shall read the resolution.
HCR 1, in memoriam, Jean Mader, 1916 to 2008.
Could we please have a bit of quiet? The question now arises upon final reading and adoption of HCR 1. Representative Gelser.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Concurrent Resolution 1 was introduced to honor an extraordinary member of the community of Corvallis, and I'm pleased that a number of her family members are here today to share in this honor, and I will introduce you to them in a few minutes. About 14 of you in this room, 13 of you in this room, out of the 60 like me, are women. So for the 14 women in this room, I think that we can all recognize how important it is to pause and honor the women who came before us, who in so many ways paved the road and opened the door to business, to education, to politics. And one of those women was Jean Mader. Jean Mader was born in 1916 in New York, and she went on as a young woman to do something that was quite extraordinary at that time. In 1940, Jean earned a master's degree in chemistry. A master's degree in chemistry. It was very unusual for women at that time to be engaged and so successful in the sciences. And she immediately went on to put that master's degree to work, joining the war effort, devising strategies to combat German U-boats in World War II. In 1946, Jean moved with her husband to the city of Corvallis, and I'm very grateful that she did so because she had a profound impact on the culture, the politics, and the economy of our community in the years to come. They started their family. They had two sons, James and Scott, and she went back to school, earning a doctoral degree in forest products chemistry from Oregon State University. Soon thereafter, she became one of the few women to be a fellow of the Society of American Foresters. And along with her husband, they became some of the nation's leaders in sustainable forest practices. Jean Mader did something very important to the city of Corvallis. Without Jean Mader, we likely would not have become the home of Hewlett-Packard, which has become the largest private employer in the city of Corvallis and one of the biggest philanthropic contributors to our community. Jean saw the importance of recruiting a clean industry to the city that could provide jobs and that could contribute to the culture of our community. And if any of you have ever lived in Corvallis like I do, you will know that bringing a large new business or bringing any new change is not an easy thing. In Corvallis, we really like our processes, and we really like to have everyone be engaged. And the stories of promoters like Jean that were trying to bring Hewlett-Packard going door to door at nighttime, encouraging the citizens of the city of Corvallis that this was a good thing for our community, has benefited all of us and our children even today. So if you would think that getting a master's in chemistry, a PhD in forest products chemistry, and attracting a major industry to Corvallis was enough for one lifetime, it wasn't. Jean was only getting started. She became the first woman to lead a chamber of commerce in the state of Oregon. That was in 1974, the year after I was born. Her other civic contributions included serving on the board of the Portland branch of the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco, the International Women's Forum, the Defense Advisory Committee on Women in the Services, the Reserve Officers Association, and of course her contributions to the Benton County Republican Party, and she was a founder of Altruza International in Corvallis. One of the things that Jean loved most, despite all of her efforts in her work life, in her community life, was her family. She was dedicated to her sons, she was dedicated to her grandchildren, and dedicated to her daughters-in-law. And her daughter-in-law, Catherine, is here today. Her son, James, is here today. And four of her grandchildren, Josh and Jason, Alexa and Alana, are here to share with us today in honoring Jean Mader. One of the things that Jean did was to talk to women about how to balance work and family life and to help women understand that you don't have to choose. You can have a big job and you can have a big family. And Jean Mader did that, and Jean Mader did that well. And in doing that, Jean Mader made it possible for more generations of us to do the same, decide that we can be workers, we can be scholars, we can be business leaders, we can be political leaders, we can do all those things, and we can still be good wives and excellent mothers. Jean was remarkable. Our community misses her. She continued her service to our community all the way up until the time that she left us last year. At that time, she was writing a novel, which unfortunately did not have the chance to be completed. But I know that we can all continue to learn about her and from her. Her papers are now deposited at Oregon State University in the library and the archives because she was such a remarkable individual. So please join me in supporting this resolution in honoring the work that Jean Mader has done. And as you look around and you see women who are excelling in the sciences, who are excelling in business, who are excelling in industry or in politics, and who are doing all of those things and still excelling at being mothers and grandmothers, think about Jean Mader. She was a person that led the way for all of us. My hats are off to her. I am so grateful for what she's offered to me and the example that she set for my three daughters. So please join me in voting yes.
Further discussion? Representative Nolan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you to the representative from Corvallis and Philomath for bringing us an opportunity to honor such a trailblazing woman. As a woman myself who has a background in science and has ventured into a world that too often doesn't have very many women in it,
I look to Gene Mader as a role model, as someone who had truly blazed a trail, not just for me to follow in, but for my daughter and all of our daughters, but also for our sons to follow in. I knew Gene's son, Scott, and his wife, Catherine, who is here, and they have created an atmosphere where it is not just a wonderful place for women to pursue careers in science, but an atmosphere where the men who work with them also create that possibility and welcome that. It is a model for all of us in Oregon to follow, and it is a delight to tribute her today. Thank you.
Further discussion? Senator Gelser, do you wish to close? Sorry, Representative Gelser.
I would like to stay in this chamber, but I do not wish to close. Thank you.
Those who are of the opinion the resolution should be adopted will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Barker, how do you vote? Representative Jefferson Smith, how do you vote? Jefferson Smith votes aye. HCR 1, having received the required majority, is declared adopted. And could our honored guests on the side aisle please stand? I'd like to extend the deepest regards to you for the service of your mother and grandmother. Thank you. Propositions and motions. First reading of House bills. Second reading of House bills.
House Bill 2123 relating to workload capacity and human services agencies.
Bill read the second time is passed to third reading. Consent calendar. Third reading of House bills. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2595 relating to persons employed to provide certain health care services.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2595A. Representative Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 2595A comes to you on a unanimous vote from your Committee on Business and Labor. This is a very straightforward bill that prohibits home health and hospice nurses from being paid on a per-visit basis. This restriction is intended to eliminate any potential conflict of interest between a nurse's financial self-interest and his or her patient's welfare, thereby providing nurses the necessary time to conduct patient assessments, caregiving, counseling, consultations, and communications with the patients themselves, their family members, and other care providers, as well as the planning and execution of meetings and legal documentations, etc. House Bill 2595A also requires that the Commissioner of Labor and Industries enforce compliance with this act, grants the Commissioner authority to assess civil penalties, not to exceed $1,000 per violation and authorizes the commissioner to adopt rules to carry out the bill's provisions. Colleagues, House Bill 2595A will help home health and hospice nurses maintain the highest levels of patient comfort and care. I urge your aye vote on that basis.
Further discussion?
Representative
Holvey?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I just wanted to stand for a moment and speak to this bill. Having had experience dealing with home health myself and hospice in my family four times, I can tell you this is just a really good bill. Pay per visit in a situation where you know, people are in dire need, and it just doesn't work. It you know, when somebody's going through the end of life, they don't really have a stopwatch and figure out exactly when I'm going to need some help. And so if a pay-per-visit situation arises and your caregiver has to rush off to another place, you know, it leaves the family with a real dire situation where oftentimes they don't know what to do and they end up having to rush off to the emergency room, which is not cost effective and is not a compassionate way to deal with these situations. So I strongly urge an aye vote. This is really a good bill. Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Wick, do you wish to close?
Mr. Speaker, I would just underscore the comments of the good representative from the Emerald Empire. Thank you.
Thank you. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Wingert, how do you vote? Wingert votes aye. Representative Gilliam? Gilliam votes aye. Representative Gilliam is off the floor. House Bill 2595A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2660, relating to Workers' Memorial Scholarship Account.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2660A. Representative Cameron.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 2660A is a bill that will help children in the state of Oregon whose parents have died on the job get a scholarship to go to college. Currently, we have a scholarship program for students of deceased employees. That scholarship program has $250,000 of principal in it. This bill will allow the department to increase that to $1 million. I urge your support. It is a good bill. And just to recognize this year, Mr. Speaker, you have that gavel like I'm out of like I'm out of order here.
Just trying to make.
It'll take a little more than that. Colleagues, this year we had 44 people covered by Oregon's workers' compensation system die on the job. It was a bad year for Oregon. In the future, their offspring will be able to apply for these scholarships to go on to college in the absence of their parents. This is a good bill. I urge your aye vote.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Cameron, do you wish to close? Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Cameron, how do you vote? Cameron votes aye. Representative Holvey? Holvey votes aye. Representative Bailey? Bailey votes aye. House Bill 2668, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Final reading, memorials and resolutions. Bills, reports, and other business laying on the table. First reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 167 relating to participation in self-pay groups for benefit plans administered by a public employees benefit board. Senate Bill 220 relating to administration of crime victim funds by Department of Justice Crime Victim Service Division. Senate Bill 238 relating to protective proceedings. Senate Bill 356 relating to civil forfeiture appropriated money and declared an emergency. Senate Bill 401 relating to conditional release. Senate Bill 469 relating to business activities conducted by minors. Senate Bill 558 relating to commercial transactions governed by the Uniform Commercial Code.
Bills read for the first time are passed to the Speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of Senate bills. Third reading of Senate bills. Other business of the House? Other business of the Senate? Orders of the day having been completed? Announcements. Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Republicans will caucus immediately following adjournment. Thank you.
Further announcements? Yeah. Remonstrances. Representative Wisnant.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Honorable colleagues, I hope you enjoyed my friend Lindy Gravel's performance this morning. I'd like her performance is related to a bill that I've submitted, a joint resolution, to recognize No Place Under the Sun Like Oregon as an additional official state song. I believe if you, and I'll be providing all the members the words of Lindy's great song, but I really believe that this song sets forth the great image of Oregon. We've discovered when we proposed this resolution that many states, Arkansas, Tennessee, and many more, have more than one official song. And we would like Oregon to follow this lead. My legislation will not change the fact that Oregon, My Oregon is the official state song. We heard in this chamber recently how the Oregon, My Oregon was selected back in 1927 to be the official song. But, colleagues, this is the time for change. We hear about the time for change. If you read the words, I think you'll recognize that this state song really describes our current beautiful state of Oregon. I think that if you look at Oregon, My Oregon was written back in our pioneer days. But No Place Under the Sun Like Oregon really describes our beautiful state that I've adopted as my state. Mr. Speaker, I ask permission to use a visual aid.
Representative Wisnant requests permission to utilize visual aid. Any objections? Having none, so ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, Lindy performs all over the state, and people have heard this song and say what a great song it is. They've joined together, and I have over 2,000 signatures here asking us to please consider this, recognizing Lindy's song as an Oregon song, official song. So, colleagues, I encourage you to support my effort, encourage the committee to hear this bill and pass it. Thank you very much for your support.
Further remonstrances? Representative Gilliam?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I hardly heard your gavel there. Before I start my remonstrance, I just want the representative from Deschutes County to know I am nearly persuaded if he would amend the song to No Place Under the Sun in Western Oregon. Today, colleagues, in the Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources, which is ably chaired by my colleague from Central and East Salem, a.k.a. Claire Chem, we heard a bill brought to us by another great colleague of mine from the Dunes. I share with you one factoid from testimony on that bill regarding fire suppression. This is especially for my esteemed colleagues from the Tri-County area, who we all follow the little Tri-Met buses around with those bumper stickers that say X number of cars are off the road. Listen to this. Each 1,000-acre reduction in fire prevents 10,600 tons of CO2 emissions in eastern Oregon and 53,000 tons in western Oregon. This equates to taking 2,000 to 9,000 cars off the road for an entire year. I'm having a bumper sticker printed. You can see me if you want one. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Gilliam. I will try to gavel louder so you can hear over the din of your own voice. Further remonstrances. Representative Beyer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, yesterday I was able to welcome into the world my first grandchild, a little boy named Maxwell. Every family is doing well, and we are extremely happy about this. I do also want to thank my wallet-sized photo is right here, if you want to see it. I do want to thank the good representative from Oregon's Lake District and for ably covering me yesterday in committee when I couldn't be there, and apologize for the other meetings that I missed yesterday. But thank you.
Congratulations, Representative Beyer. And I can see the wallet-sized photo from here. It's a lovely child. Further remonstrances, Representative Wingert.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, today I rise to recognize the upcoming celebration of Human Achievement Hour. Between the hours of 8:30 p.m. and 9:30 p.m. on Saturday, March 28, 2009, people around the world will be celebrating and acknowledging the achievements accomplished by the human race. The Competitive Enterprise Institute, a leading free market think tank in Washington, D.C., has initiated the celebration of Human Achievement Hour in response to Earth Hour, a period during which governments, individuals, and corporations have agreed to dim or shut off lights in an effort to draw attention to climate change. Coinciding with Earth Hour, Human Achievement Hour's purpose is to salute the people who keep the lights on and produce the energy that helps make human achievement possible. Many organizations and average folks around the world will show their support for human achievement by simply going about their daily lives. Earth Hour may be a viable alternative to Human Achievement Hour for some. Those who wish to celebrate Earth Hour can sit in the dark, turn off the heat, and breathe as little as possible. While we, who will be celebrating Human Achievement Hour, may go see a movie or a play, go to a museum, or simply stay home and watch television or read a book, I encourage all my colleagues to join me in recognizing the importance of human achievement and celebrating Human Achievement Hour on Saturday. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further remonstrances? Adjournment, Representative Jensen, 10:15 a.m., Monday, March 30th, 2009.
Mr. Speaker, move the House adjourn until 10:15 a.m., Monday, March 30th, 2009.
Representative Jensen moves the House adjourn until 10:15 a.m., Monday, March 30th, 2009. Without objection, the House is adjourned.